saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We told Todd we would wait. It's 8 o'clock, and we're in the 8 o'clock hour. Anybody wants to get in? All right, we'll stop babbling. We got all kinds. We haven't even gotten to the Rockets. We haven't gotten to the NCAA tournament. We haven't gotten to the Astros, pretty much. Let's go. Todd, what's going on? You want to talk Kelvin Sampson? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
What's that?
Pretty good.
All right, cool. Real quick, in my opinion, what sense would it make for Kelvin Sampson to sign right now? If he loses this next round, is he going to – the offer is going to be there. If he loses this next round, is the offer going to go down? No. If he makes it to the Final Four or even the finals or, heck, even wins it, does he have a leg to stand on to ask for more money? And in my opinion, absolutely. If he can make it to the finals, then – he could probably ask for a little bit more money. Maybe he doesn't want to leave Houston, but like y'all said, he's put in his time. He kind of got a raw deal, and he's bounced around since then and has put in his time. And maybe he's just banking on his team doing well and wanting the most that he can get, feeling like he deserves the money. So what sense would it make to sign it right now if you know the offer's still going to be there? And it's not like it's going to go down, even if you lose this next round.
One,
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair question. Yeah. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. Because Tom Herman. Because, as Mark says, this reminds me of Tom Herman 2016. Stories bubbling up right in the middle, right in the thick of things. It's going to unravel just like 2016 because the team won't be focused. One of the reasons to sign is Houston could say, look, we're not paying you more than this amount of money. And it's going to be a good amount of money. And if that's the case, then how about agreeing to it and all your kids who are there on your team know it, and it's a non-story? Because now it's a story.
Listen, and I said this, okay, too. He may be negotiating. He may be trying, okay, I'm going to get...
And that's possible.
And let's not turn... The city turns again. Oh, we hate Kelvin Sampson. He won't sign. Well, he doesn't want... No, listen, slow down. This is how negotiations go. And you are absolutely right, Todd. He could get more money here. And it's a big, it's a nice big offer.
Final Four would maybe
Final
pay him
four
more.
Would be, oh, well, we got to add some
I
money
I don't know
to
if it's going to pay him. I mean, there's a finite amount of money that makes sense financially for a program that doesn't, although this year they drew in much, much better. new facility and things like that.
But there's a limit on how much.
There's a limit.
Listen, they're working on a deal for a football game to start the season. That football game will bring against a big name opponent in a neutral site, you know, one of those Jerry World things or wherever.
Right.
We'll bring in more money than the entire basketball season will bring in. That one game to start the football season will bring in more money than its potential for the basketball team to bring in. So you know, there's a finite number that you can put on this thing. There is a finite number. But they're doing everything in their power. And who knows? Kelvin Sampson may. He may not. I don't know. Who knows what motivates him? Maybe he wants to just leave. Maybe he doesn't like Houston. Maybe whatever. Whatever the case may be. Maybe he wants a different challenge. He loves new challenges. Who knows? But the fact of the matter, he may be here. So we all got to wait. See how far they go. Let's enjoy tonight, right? Without PJ Washington. Dell, who you got here?
I'll take the Cougs.
You take the Cougs with P.J. Washington, maybe 80%. Not as quick as he normally is, but he doesn't depend on quickness. He in the low post, he's going to be able to do things.
If the Cougs aren't taking the ball to the basket, I think their ability in transition wins this game for them. If they can rebound and defend, and they don't have to play a half-court game, which I don't think plays well for them, I take them. I like their guards. I like their guards more than I like Kentucky's guards.
Okay. I think it's all about shooting percentage.
Well, that's part of the defense thing.
Right. Well, Cougs offensive. I think they're going to play. They play hard defensively.
Well, the shooting percentage, I think, depends quite a bit on transition and the shots they take and where they come from. If they're playing a half-court game, I don't think that shooting percentage is going to be great.
Well, but if they're knocking down those threes.
Well,
yeah. Let's say they shoot 38% from three.
Well, how many are they taking?
They're going to take.
Yeah, that's the key.
They're going to take how many 20, makes. 25.
It's not how many shoot. It's going to be how many you make. It's not even a percentage.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Well, yeah. That'll tell you. If they take their 20 to 25 threes, okay, and they make 38%.
Similar styles. The way you manufacture wins against other grinders. I remember Kevin McHale talked about this one time when we had a show with them. You got to get easy baskets on not necessarily leak outs, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like transition baskets off long rebounds. You can't be afraid to push and try to get a 2-on-1 easy basket. And then you have to out rebound, meaning whether it's offensive rebound opportunities to increase your possession or decrease theirs by really owning the defensive boards. You have to, your possessions, even if it's three in the game, if you can turn three long rebounds into baskets, and if you can limit just flip the possessions by 2 to 3 possessions because of rebounding, offensive rebounding or lack thereof for them, he's like, that's how you win games in these grinded out battles. And that's when, you know, Kelvin Sampson used to, I think one of the schools of thoughts that kind of started when Kelvin Sampson was the defensive guru for the Rockets. Because Kelvin Sampson got them to buy in. They were a good defensive team when Kelvin Sampson was there. And then they had, when Mike D'Antoni has Jeff Bezdelic. You know, it's the same thing with the Rockets. All of a sudden, they buy in defensively. And when there wasn't Bezdelic there, it was obviously a big problem. But when it really comes down to it in a tournament, I can say all this and you can say this. You need a dude. I mean, when you have a dude who's feeling it, and has all the swagger on the court, just like they had with Rob Gray. I mean, they got beat at the end of that game. They didn't make free throws, but you need a guy who can take the ball and Corey Davis?
Corey Davis.
Right?
That's Corey Davis. And I think he might have gotten a lot of confidence from the last game. The thing is, are you knocking down shots? They average 23 threes per game. Mm-hmm. That's their average game. So if they hit 38%, that is so 24, 40%. You know, they got to hit 9, 10. If they get in 9 or 10 three-pointers in this game, I'd be, you know, I really think that they've got to have that confidence offensively because they get so cold. I think that's the most important thing. Knock down shots. And they did that in the last game against Ohio State. But this ain't Ohio State. This team is better than Ohio State.
Hey, Alan says this. What do you guys think of this? Unfortunately, college basketball is an afterthought locally with media coverage and fans. College towns live for it. You know, and there's nothing that can't be countered. And we had Kelvin. They couldn't wait to get Kelvin Sampson on our show when I checked in, when we had him on. That is true. Outside of the bubble of your own university, college basketball just doesn't exist here like it exists at college towns.
That part of it is, like, there are reasons that are obvious, but also it's been, since outside of these last 2 years, what have the Cougars done to get people excited?
Well, I mean, I thought last year's
I said outside of the last 2 years.
Oh, outside of, yeah. No, that's true. It's been a while.
Listen, as Arkansas has been irrelevant.
Yep. Yeah.
Charlie's Sports Map article today, I didn't know this, they average 13,000 fans a game at their basketball
games. That's what the text or tweet was about.
Yeah.
College towns, what it's about.
That's right. They average 13,000 for an irrelevant team.
13,000?
Yeah. Yeah, yikes.
And you know, and if that's what it is, and you know it's going to be that way all the time, you can point to, what about the Cougars? You know, what about the Cougars' attendance this year? No, you know this is what Arkansas is and is going to be, because there's nothing else to do there, Kelvin. I just want to make that clear. Ed Oliver was weighed, but he was not measured at his pro day. And Holly says, I never understood why players should be allowed to skip the weight and measurements. Size matters, really, though.
Who said this?
Holly.
She's like you. You would have made a joke like that, too, except, but not about dudes,
is she
about a woman.
Is she female Granado?
Yes, of course she is.
No.
What?
No, I wouldn't make a joke.
She drinks
like
and
that.
Does things.
What? How do you know what she does? Who knows what she does?
She does things.
John drinks and does things, too.
That's what I mean.
Whoa. You would have never made a chest-sized comment ever on a show.
Never.
Never.
To use someone's body or a sexual innuendo.
Where's she from?
Who?
Where's Holly from?
Philly.
Where are you from?
Well, I don't. Is she from Philly? Or
Chicago. Same.
Not. Oh,
basically the same.
Or did she adopt Phily? I don't know where she's
from. Philly. Those people are rude.
I'm from
Houston.
From Philly.
Thank you.
You're not from Houston.
I'm all about Houston.
You're from Chicago.
No.
Holly is female Granado.
I don't know why that's a surprise. It's been clear for a long time.
Oh my God.
Here's a good story. Jussie Smollett could win an NAACP Image Award this weekend.
For what?
For being Jussie.
What did Jussie do besides get off the case?
Exonerated.
He wasn't exonerated.
Exonerated.
They just declined to go forward with the case. He wasn't exonerated.
He was exonerated.
No. In fact.
So was our great president.
In fact, the police are like, no. The police are like, nah, we're going to look into this. They're like, no.
Maybe the state charges are dropped, but we're not. All right, 815 ESPN 975-73780.
Jussie Smollett's going to, after like clowning the police, they're going to have to, man, I would, don't drive a car, don't park.
Move.
Everything's got to be in a Uber or Lyft or a cab.
Oh, how about the Chicago Police Department wants $130,000 from him to defray the cost of their probe? It costs $130,000 to investigate him. That's fair.
That's not going to help with that contract thing.
No, I don't think he's got $130,000. He's unemployable. Where's he going to get $130,000?
Well,
maybe
go to
Prime.
I don't know if he's unemployable. Plenty of dudes. I don't know if he's popular enough, but plenty of dudes get shots for worse stuff.
You'll eventually be employable.
You think?
Unless you're Ray Rice.
Mel Gibson can rant and rave and talk about Jews and Jewish people and black people.
Gibson uses his own money and produces his own stuff.
Yeah, he has to create his own game.
Yeah,
but he's back to being accepted.
Yeah, he and Vince Vaughn did a movie that's I saw was in iTunes. I was actually got decent reviews. He's a crooked cop.
As well, he should be.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Altuve looking for his first hit of the season has lined out to center field and also grounded out. Altuve sends one high in the air, deep to left, sending Pham back. He's looking up, and Altuve has added to the home run barrage. 3 in 3 innings. Altuve makes it a 5-1 game.
Blake Snell sucks. He should have never been a Cy Young last year.
Wait a minute. So, if Blake, why would you denigrate your team's performance by telling everyone the pitcher they rock sucks? When you're like, Dashers are so good, they're crushing a Cy Young guy.
Verlander should have been a Cy Young.
That's fine, but don't tell everybody Blake Snell sucks. That doesn't mean that means the Astros didn't hit anybody.
He's the Astros, bitch.
Well, that's okay too.
All right.
True.
So Astros win 1-0. That game represented 0.6% of the season.
So everyone can.
They'll be up over 1% of the season after they beat Charlie Morton.
I'm a little sad about what's coming for Charlie.
Are you sad about beating Charlie Morton's ass today? I kind of love Charlie Morton.
I got a feeling your $300 million pitcher, Garrett Cole, may get ruined today by Charlie.
Really?
And that ball's just going to have a little tail on it. We'll know. You know if Charlie's got it in the first two innings. You know if you're going to get funky Charlie or funky-ass Charlie. Yeah. You'll get one of them. I'm hoping it's not the awesome one. I don't know. The Astros. So, you know. I'm
advantage
just gonna put,
that they know him or not?
Nah, I don't think it matters. When that ball starts dipping and dripping all over the place, I don't think it really matters. If Charlie's on, doesn't matter.
Max Stassi could tell you a lot about him, though.
Although, do you think
and
that
his tendencies?
What about Max Stassi?
I don't know. How about
you go
about
over to
Charlie
Brent? Would the Stromer rat him out? Would the Stromer rat him out to the hitters? Or is there some kind of pitcher code where Stromer won't talk about one of his old pitches?
Stassi will. I don't think you
anybody
have to ask
anybody caring what Max Stassi says. That guy
he caught him.
Justin Verlander just got kicked him out of all baseball. I know.
A lot of times, Verlander said, beat it, Stassi.
Verlander had something on the back. Verlander wrote in black marker on FOH. And he just held it up like this. When you're holding up in front of your face, when you're looking at the signs, and Max Stassi's like, why does he have FOH?
I don't know.
Out of here.
I kind of like Chirinos. I did too. And Aledmus was out there yesterday because no Correa. He did a nice job. Fine job.
Okay, can we talk about the Rockets for a second?
Okay. Thundersticks wants to talk about the Rockets.
What would you like to talk about?
What would you
like to talk
about? The 40-point second quarter. How about whipping Denver's ass? Like, John was all, oh, Denver beat the Rockets before. How about yesterday? How about that? Catch us outside. Catch us in the playoffs, Denver. How about that?
I may have overreacted a little with Denver since the Rockets have beaten them 10 out of the last 11.
That one win that they had.
It was an impressive win by the Nuggets.
It was an impressive win, and I was a little scared. But I'm better now.
Yeah.
I'm better now.
I mean, it appears, we'll see, still some games ago, that if they did ever meet in the playoffs, Denver would have home court. But I don't think it matters so much.
But
with
listen,
the Rockets, at least.
I don't think Jokic isn't a good matchup, but did you see James Harden? I don't know if you know this. James Harden is a great post defender.
He's one of the best.
No, he actually was really, really good.
No, he always is.
ESPN put up a stat that James Harden was one of the best defensive players in all of NBA last night. Like two of the 10 shots taken against him in the first half were made. 8 were missed. Because of how hard he played defensively.
Because you can't really back him down.
Not only that, but even on the outside, he was playing well.
I know. I've been trying to tell you how James is a great defender.
No, that's not true.
I'm tired of the YouTube videos staying with him.
Well, but he did. No, he listen. This is probably a really good matchup for the Rockets. So I'm off of that train.
So you're allowing the other game, this one game, to swing you the other way.
Who got to you?
Watching him.
So you went
but
from
I got nervous about the last game.
One extreme to the other.
Well, I'm okay with them.
They've lost 10 of 11.
Now. I'm okay with playing Denver.
I don't know about this matchup.
I hope they don't play again, and if Denver wins before the regular season's over, then it might swing the other way.
Flip-flop.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Well, I'm a little bit worried.
And I'm doing this for you right now. I'm going to take this out of the mix right now. The Alex Bregman, over the last 3 years, I'm going to put this out there now for everybody for when you start to get a little antsy. 16, 17, and 18, Alex Bregman in April has an OPS of 719. He has a higher on-base percentage than slugging percentage in April, okay? That's for the last 3 years. He is a notoriously slow starter. He is terrible in April, a 719 OPS. In May, 852. In June, 914.
Yeah.
In July, 908. August, 908. September, 888. So this is what he does. I know he started off. If he continues to start off slowly, there's no reason to panic.
Well, bench him or bat him eighth or ninth.
No, there's no. That is the definition of panicking.
That's not panicking.
It's don't just, pull a chopper.
We know you're a slow starter.
Bregman has beaten Trust me, he's beaten the Nuggets 10 of the last 11 games over the last 3 years.
I'm worried about that one.
Yeah. Don't worry about that 1 month that he has. Okay. April is a notoriously slow month for him.
The games all count the same, Lance. How about he picks it up?
Yeah, pick it up. True. Pick it up.
This is where I need Astro Twitter to stop in and tell you.
Is that John Clay Wolf calling in the show?
Possibly. I didn't take the call. Probably a fake.
All right, well, let's go. Let's get to him. Hey, John Clay Wolf.
Hey, Granato, I know I was on the air.
That is really John Clay Wolf.
You're a caller into the show now?
I am, because I'm worried about you. I've been thinking. I mean, you scared me a minute ago. You're being so nice and so positive and so happy. I'm like, dude, this guy might be having a stroke.
No, I'm not having a stroke. I'm a nice guy.
Is he, Dell?
Did you just ask if I wish he was having a stroke?
No, he didn't ask. No, I'm not asking, did you wish he had a stroke? What I'm asking is he a nice, positive guy?
No, he's not.
Dell's the judge? I should be the perfect judge because I know
I'm the perfect judge because I'm right in that same wheelhouse.
No, you don't.
That's my wheelhouse.
John Clay Wolf, I'm fine. No strokes today.
You feel what I'm saying?
Something's wrong. Well, no, I'm always positive. I'm always nice. That's not true. John Clay Wolf.
Not like this.
No. I haven't had. You know, I give up alcohol for Lent.
Yeah, you didn't factor that in, John Clay. Everything's fine. He'll get back to the old Granato when he starts drinking again.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not the only one that worries about me during Lent. Yeah.
Something to change.
You know who else, dude? Yeah. Bar owners.
Yeah, bar owners.
We went into China Garden
Coors Light
before the Rockets game, and Carol, the owner, literally like, ugh, I hate this John Granato. She said that out loud.
Yeah.
She went, ugh, like push
when
a tea.
When you start drinking again.
Disgusted.
Yeah.
My friends give me up for Lent because they don't want to be around me during Lent.
Most people like being around sober people.
No, that's not the case with me. That's not the case.
Let me know when you're back on, and I'll
come
down.
Easter.
I would say 12 a.m.
You should know when Easter is, but okay.
His friends give you up for Lent because you don't drink?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who wants to be around you at all? That's what I don't get.
My friends.
Why?
But not when I'm not drinking.
There's
really no reason to have me around.
Are you a joyous person when you're drinking?
Yeah, I'm a very fun person.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
And I'm funny. Right now, people that are drinking are not funny at all. Can I tell you?
They never are.
No.
They're the worst.
I'm going to tell you. No, they're usually funny. Like Jackie or Clint.
I can't imagine Jackie being funny around a sober person.
No. He's not. No. I mean, even his tweets, I'm like, Jackie, yeah, I got to be drinking for you to be funny. I'm sorry. And Clint and Matt and all of them, they're just not. Chance, he's not funny. All right, nobody's funny when I'm not drinking. Let's you know who's good, though? You know why? Because if you got enough testosterone in you.
Doesn't even work. That's not
helps.
Good.
It helps.
It makes you funnier?
It makes you funnier.
Actually, it puts you, it takes that the gray cloud that hangs over you. If you are low on testosterone, one of the things that happens is that you are just in a constant funk. And it's hard to explain. You don't have energy. You're always tired and fatigued. And a lot of you guys are going to hear this, and you'll know what I mean. You just, you don't, you want to go to the gym, but you just can't get motivated. If motivation and fatigue are issues, those are two telltale signs of low testosterone. If you are approaching or over the age of 40, you may be low in testosterone. And when that happens, it does impact the quality of life. That's why most insurance companies will end up paying for testosterone treatments. All you have to do is go to Men's T Clinic. They work with your insurance company. You don't have to worry about it. But it is affordable. They can get you back to being the real you. The first thing they do is give you a test. And within minutes, they will know where your testosterone level is. And once that happens, they can find out whether or not you can be treated. And once you are treated, they will fine-tune that treatment so you get back to being the best version of you that you have. And you'll notice your mental acuity is sharper, your motivation spikes, your energy level spikes, and your metabolism. That's another big benefit. A lot of guys love the fact that they start to see body changes. They start to change back to being leaner like they were in their 20s and 30s. Go to mensteeclinic.com. Check out all the information you need. When you're ready, The Heights, Cypress, Pasadena, and Pearland, mensteeclinic.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. I got some questions for you.
Yep.
Okay. I've got, there's some important stuff to get through here. And it's all NFL related.
Okay.
Sixth round pick for Jordan Howard.
What about him?
You think that was equitable to the Bears, or could they have got... So the Bears traded Jordan Howard... Oh,
because they got him for a fifth.
They traded Jordan Howard to the Eagles for a late...
Yeah.
A sixth-round pick. It could turn into a five if he plays well.
So this is what just doesn't make sense about NFL trades. You can't make sense of them because he's a pretty good running back.
Yeah, he's a pretty
good running back. You would think, oh, well, that's worth a second-rounder.
No,
right?
I wouldn't say that, but second I would third, say third. Here's the thing. Or,
his contract's going to be coming up, so you don't have leverage because the Eagles are going to have to pay him. So the Eagles know they're going to have to take on more money when they trade for him.
I get that.
So that kind of slides the value scale. But six doesn't even sound – that just doesn't seem to make sense.
Why even do it?
It doesn't even seem to make sense. Well, you want to
– I get that.
I don't know because the six-rounder is – at best, the six-rounder is a developmental backup that you're hoping
– I mean, you hit – on a fifth rounder, so now you can't. But then you turn him into a. You hit on a guy who can play in the fifth round.
Well, maybe your thought is we're going to draft a running back. We think we can go cheaper. He's going to get ready to get paid. So we're going to go. We're going to trade him,
Mike
get
Davis.
A pick, and get but so
I know
Mike Davis.
Well, they got Cohen and they got Davis.
I mean, we trust in Mike Davis.
I guess
no.
Well, they just signed him.
But
he catches the ball out of the backfield.
Mike Davis is a guy that you have to, and then you draft one, and now you have a committee, is basically what it's
Well, Cohen, I think, can be.
This is a big deal for the Eagles. Now, Josh Jacobs and mock drafts to the Eagles, now you got to rethink everything because that may not make any sense anymore.
No. Now they're not forced to do that, by the way. But here's the deal. I think Tariq Cohen can be Tariq Hill.
Yeah, but he's more Darren Sproles. Like, Hill actually runs routes and gets out down the field. Like, I've never seen a small guy catch balls down the field, like jump balls like that. I've never...
He's got that kind of... I think he's going to be
really good this year. What about Darren Sproles? My comp on him was Darren Sproles. What about Sproles?
Yeah,
I can see him doing that.
I can see that. And he went out and caught passes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Quinn goes from the Dolphins to the Cowboys.
Yep. What does that mean for DeMarcus Lawrence?
I think they're going to do a long-term deal with DeMarcus.
You think
Lawrence.
They'll get it done?
Yes. Yes. They've already said they've yes. They needed more. Yeah. They had to have more.
Well, they just keep drafting guys who are just can't stop smoking weed. So right. they got to keep finding D-line because all their D-linemen are all getting kicked out of the league for smoking weed.
Rumor is there's been a second-round pick offer for Josh Rosen.
It's what I thought the value would be.
Well, the Cardinals...
Ain't going to be the first.
Cardinals are holding out for the first.
Okay, keep holding. And then Josh is going to put some salty stuff on his Instagram. Watch what happens.
Well, I mean...
It'll be him... As, he'll put as John Snow, stuff if he's only- it'll be him as Jon Snow when the attack and Battle of Bastards has come in. You get me versus me versus the Cardinals or Mood or something like that. He'll have some Mood and it'll be Salt Bay or he's gonna come up with something salty as crap on it on a social media post and it'll be like hacked again. You mean like when they hacked you and then erased all your Cardinal stuff out of your Instagram?
Yeah, hacked again.
And he'll be like, yeah, I didn't do that and I didn't do this. Well, somebody keeps hacking me.
If I'm the Cardinals, I take that second round pick now.
I do too.
I'm not sure that's true. Maybe Josh Rosen's side is planting that seed. Oh, he's worth at least a second. Nah, really not.
They don't care how much you get for him. They just want him gone, I'm sure.
Yeah, except... You want to have some value, though, too, if you're Rosen.
Well, that you would leak that if you're Steve Kine.
Would you?
I wonder who
you're
from.
The Giants?
See, that's what's weird to me is the Giants didn't like him. Well, maybe they didn't like him compared to Saquon Barkley. Maybe they liked him okay. See, that's the problem with everyone just thinking.
Yeah, but he wouldn't take Rosen number two.
But that's
you could
exactly
have taken Darnold number two.
No, that's right. But my whole thing was. Everyone just assumes that there's going to be a high pick, and you should be able to get a one, right? Well, you know, so everyone had a grade on Josh Rosen last year, and since that time, he was last in about every category with Arizona. Now, it's not really – didn't have much of an offensive line, didn't have much help around him and all that stuff, but you still had a season of not good football under his belt. And then you had the salty Instagram stuff where he deleted all their – you know, just kind of playing exactly on brand to what he's supposed to be, which is a little bit of a difficult guy. How many teams liked him last year that were going to draft him? I know the Cardinals moved up and drafted him. I'm just curious because you have to be a team that A, liked him last year, and B, have a needed quarterback. You couldn't have addressed it. I feel like that's a low number. If you're the Giants, I have no doubt that he will fail with the Giants. He can't handle that New York media. They will eat him alive. It will be. Eli is just, he's almost, I just don't think he, like Sam Darnold and Eli are the same guy in that I don't think they're bothered by anything you say. They just,
no.
And well, Sam Darnold is about ball.
Oh,
and he's
yeah.
like, I don't
And
care.
Rosen in New York?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. No. It's going to be, oh. He's going to read everything. And Sam Darnold doesn't even, I don't think Sam Darnold even has social media. He's perfect for New York.
No. Yeah, he don't care. Let's get Southwest
Patriots.
I gotta find Patriots lose Greg Schiano.
No, I think Patriots could be a landing spot for Rosen.
Yeah. You're gonna replace Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, if
can
there's
you
one team that can handle
Patriot fan after watching Brady for all those years, having to watch Josh Rosen?
Please let it happen. Or the other thing is, they think he could go to San Diego behind Big Philly. Can you imagine? Man, this kid y'all got in here. I mean,
how many?
Wow!
Big Philly had another kid this week.
Nine.
And somebody brought this. How many kids he got?
So Bucky Brooks brought this up, not on the air. He said, this is a serious question. He goes, Lance, you have a bunch of kids, right? I said, I got five. He goes, all at home? I said, no, four. But I had five at home at one point. He said, how did y'all get around? I said, well, an SUV, me and my wife front seat. We got two in a bucket seat, seats in the second aisle. And on the third aisle, the bench, Drake had to get squished in the middle. He goes, okay, Philip Rivers has nine. How does he get around? I'm like,
a Mercedes.
It has to be
a Mercedes spinner.
What is that?
They've got a bench all the way around and then it's seats in the back, or you can do a bench all the way around. One of those big spinners.
It's like a party bus.
Yeah.
So they have to buy a party bus.
Well, he's Philly. He's got. I'm not worried about
it. No, I know, but it's just it looks a little like that's what you drive around.
Yeah.
Because at some point she's got to, or well, it's got to be what, her and a nanny taking people around.
That's what my buddy drives around in, except he has a bar in it instead of seats.
Yeah, your friend is not going to have the same thing Philip Rivers' wife has. I understand that.
It's true.
But a school bus, I guess, right?
It's absolutely true.
How do you get nine? How do you get nine kids around?
And a stripper pole, but that's different.
Is it really? Yeah. John Clay Wolf likes this.
Do we have time for Southwest Jay? No. Okay, on the other side, Southwest Jay will join us here on ESPN 97.5. We'll look forward to that.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go! We love our Astros in Houston.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How about this? Cy Cole on the mound tonight, 6:10 p.m. We got that, and it goes right into the Cougs. Oh, my God. This is a great week. This is a great month for stuff. April is going to be awesome. Raheel says this could be one of the great television watching months of all time. He said that with AJ yesterday on the Charlie Pelillo show, which wasn't really the Charlie Pelillo show.
No, it was not. What's the basis of that?
With Game of Thrones.
That's in April. You mean in April?
The movie. Yeah, I said April.
Okay.
The Game of Thrones is coming back. Avengers the Endgame? Big movie, your stupid cartoon movie is coming out.
Avengers Endgame?
Yeah.
Your stupid cartoon movie.
You mean a movie that makes billions of dollars? The franchise makes billions of dollars. Everyone likes it?
Yeah, that one.
Cartoon movie never gets old to me.
I don't mind it. It rings hollow from a guy who loves, The Hobbit.
That's real life.
There are dragons in The Hobbit, just like there are.
There used to be your dragons, okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and disappearing people.
And there's elves flipping around, CGI.
Oh, like there's no dwarves?
There's no dwarves holding axes.
You're disrespecting.
Are there tribes of dwarves like there are in game, like in The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
And orcs?
Yeah.
There are orcs running around?
Yeah.
No. In
everyday life. It's not literal, okay?
It's a cartoon then.
No, it's figurative. It represents our real life.
What do the orcs represent?
6'10 and 790.
What?
The bad people? Yeah.
Look them? At they?
How we converted.
Has an orc
went over to the dark
has
side.
Has an orc ever been converted?
Yeah, I remember whenever, well, not an orc, but do you remember whenever, what's his name? Your guy who has the ring? What's Hobbit's that guy's name?
Frodo?
Schmeagle?
Yeah, remember when for a while he gets kind of crazy and then he like,
yeah.
And they knock the ring out into the fire or whatever. And he's
That's
like,
not how it went. That's not
I don't
how
remember
went.
How it went. Frodo, remember when he started to turn a little bit?
The untold story of Game of Thrones that people don't like to talk about is Frodo bitched out, okay? Frodo wasn't going to complete
not
the
Game
mission.
Not Game of Thrones.
Not Game of Thrones. Yeah. Lord of the Rings. Frodo bitched out. He wasn't going to complete the mission.
Oh, John, you just got roasted.
He wasn't. He was walking away from the fight. It's not a theory.
This is from a Game of Thrones guy who's trying to make Game of Thrones.
By the way, you're a Game of Thrones guy.
Okay.
It's not a theory. It played out. Frodo was like, Sam's like, throw the ring into the fire, Mr. Frodo. Throw the ring. Frodo's like, F you, Sam. I'm keeping this ring.
F-O-A,
and I'm walking away.
Did he call him Mr. Frodo?
Sometimes
he called him Mr. Frodo.
See, yeah, I never. They were friends.
Samwise called him Mr. Frodo.
Yeah, they were friends.
But he was his butler. He was his valet.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And Frodo's walking away saying, I'm about to disappear. Gollum had to bite his finger off and fall into the fire for the mission to be over. Frodo's a little bitch is what he is.
Oh really?
Yes.
Did you ever climb the rocks to Mordor? No. Okay.
The weakest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yes. You know what? Mordor. Yes. I once did a remote. In 90-degree weather, in a golf cart.
You couldn't even do a remote in a golf cart. Twin Peaks yesterday.
I had to. No, I'm talking about set it up.
Good Lord.
In a golf cart. I did a show from a golf cart.
He bitched out. What about you bitching out yesterday?
I didn't bitch out.
Not letting Charlie Pelillo do his show.
Quit
with the
talking
people.
About nerd stuff, man. Tim Brando doesn't like this radio. Frank Bullington.
Time to talk about Southwest J right here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Southwest J?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Jay?
A couple things I liked about yesterday. So Astros showed up opening day. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't lost a game all season, if you didn't know. The Rockets made shots yesterday. I like that. They typically win when they do that. I don't like Fayetteville John pushing Kevin Sampson out of town.
Thank you.
I've been doing it for weeks.
Lance told us all what he likes yesterday.
Oh, that wasn't fair. I stopped it about the Bennetts when I got mixed up on the Bennetts.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Yeah. You like Dick or Tony? Which do you prefer?
Go ahead, Jay.
Which do you prefer?
No,
Tony.
No. That's okay. Through the commercials, don't like that. You know, short of three times, whatever.
Right.
But great show. Dale, keep holding it down, and go Cougs.
Thank you, Jay. Right, we appreciate it.
What do you like? Pushing Kelvin Sampson. I'm just giving
like
you the information.
Like, it feels like
Fayetteville's
like
a wonderful
great
place.
Fayetteville is.
Oh, no, it's pretty.
Fayetteville's very lit.
You know, it said seems that like Starkville, but it's not. It's not even. It's like hill country. It really is.
Who's looking for that?
You know what? Hill country. Well, it's not, but without the weirdos. Okay, it's the hill country without the weirdos of Austin.
Huh.
Hmm.
Yeah, and all the liberals. Arkansas ain't liberal. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, why would Arkansas not being liberal be appealing to Kelvin Sampson?
I don't know.
I know it's appealing to you, but why is it appealing
liberal,
to him?
And yet they love their basketball. Who knew?
Oh, you don't. Oh, that hasn't been something you figured out about the South?
I immediately got uncomfortable.
Is that not something you figured out about the South?
I immediately got uncomfortable there.
As long as you...
Can we get the coded language out here? Let's whip up some coded language. Boy, there. This is a basketball test. Surprising how the team is, the city's taken to the basketball squad.
I don't know if you know this, John, but in the South,
Virginia's got the kind of basketball team that I can get behind.
Guy and that other guy.
Yeah. And Gonzaga.
Yeah. Well,
I think.
Well, they're a little confused about Huchimura.
Yeah, they do.
Who is Huchimura? Oh. They're like.
Hachimura.
There it is.
Even worse.
Oh.
Rudy.
Every time he gets a rebound put back, oh, Hachimura.
I just like to call him Rui Huchimura, because that's his name.
Yeah, it is his actual name.
That is his name. That's what I said.
No, what did you say?
Oh.
That's not his name.
That's not his name.
That's a sound effect.
He's showing up, he gets somebody, he elbows him in the, oh.
No, he doesn't Hachimura. Make that noise.
Hey, who is number 13? Texas Tech. How about Texas Tech's old school basketball white guy with the, looks like he has a buzz cut out there with the sharp, crisp reverse passes. And
he you know plays for about? Norman Dale.
I know. That guy, whoever that guy is, I'm like, who's this throwback? I
love him.
That guy's out there shooting from the corner and missed a three. I'm like, this
what?
Isn't the white guy. White
were
guy missing open
were there
three.
Five passes?
No, there might have been five passes.
How about at halftime, it was like 24-16. What?
I feel like this is an updated version of Hoosiers. Watching it Texas is. Tech and Chris Beard, because they say, I think it was Reggie Miller, they
it's
were talking
Norman
about
Dale.
how they have fun. Like, in practice, everyone listens. There is a degree of accountability, but they blare music. And it's like a balance between new and old. And I'm like, this is updated Hoosiers mm-hmm. is what it is. This
it's
is
millennial Hoosiers.
This is updated Hoosiers with an African-American center, different than Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
Better shoes than the black Chucks that they used. In some cases, the shorts almost just as short now since they've come back. And then you got Ray, the white guy point guard, the white guy guard, only this time not as good a shooter from the perimeter.
Yeah.
And then Norman Dale's on the sideline, Chris Beard, and then you're pissing them off in interviews.
Is everybody okay with Giroux's shorts for the Cougs? Is everybody okay with this?
No.
I mean, I'm not looking for him to do it all the time.
I know. I mean, can you lengthen them up a little?
No, they're not.
I mean,
it's
Raheel
not even that
loves
lengthened.
Those shorts.
They're either, like, Corey Davis ain't all that different. Corey Davis likes to show off
Corey
thighs.
Davis, too, yeah.
They're either rolling them
I
up
think
at the
he
top.
Rolls them up.
He rolls
I think
off,
Giroux's and are that long.
And I think Corey Davis rolls them up at the bottom and like pins them or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, when you're going out of your way to make them shorter, that's just, I can't even comprehend that. We spent years trying to break down the barriers of short shorts. And it feels like this is a slap. And we're the forefathers of the movement to get longer shorts with the Flying Illini and the Fab Five. And then, of course, Arkansas with Nolan Richardson just went way too far with it. The same thing with Allen Iverson. Basically wore I don't even know what those jorts were. But I feel like all this work that we did to break down the barriers of the short shorts are now, we're just getting spit in the face by these players now.
I'm surprised you take this angle considering which Bennett you like. I assume the short short trend to be a thing you would like.
Wow. Mm-hmm. From you, Dell. From you, this type of rhetoric.
I would have just assumed you like
regressive rhetoric from you, Dell. Yep.
You like a certain Bennett. So
this regressive rhetoric from
Bennett,
you.
Which Bennett do you like again?
Tony.
No,
I like the younger.
Well, I don't know. You were all
about Dick yesterday.
You say you like Bennett? Tony. You say you like Tony.
I'm a Tony Bennett fan.
No, yes. You say you like Tony.
That's
Tony
not what you Bennett. Said yesterday.
But Dick came out of your mouth. You say you like Tony.
Yeah, that's not what. You know what?
Excuse
you know
me?
What?
Dick Bennett came out of your mouth.
What else do we have here? Champion Energy can save you some money. I'm just going to say this. This was the worst segment that has ever been done on radio and potentially actionable.
What? Who came out
it
of
is
his
the most
Dick Bennett came out of his mouth. That's what he said yesterday.
It is the most actionable.
Who put Dick Bennett in his mouth?
Lance did. He did it himself.
This, like, I could sue or other people could sue for this entire segment.
Did you not say Dick instead of Tony yesterday, right? That's
yes.
What we're talking about.
Yes.
I'm going to see if Laura Beavers is in right now.
No. Fifth grade John.
I would say we're going to do a live, but I don't think John's in any condition to do it.
Do it later.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.